Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nutrition Lab Q&A open support call for November 2020. And hard to believe it's almost the end of the year, but it is almost the end of the year. And we're 2 days away from Thanksgiving. So we have a lot to be grateful for, in spite of the fact that it may have been a tumultuous year. It might have been a stressful year. But just the fact that we're breathing and living and we live on this earth, we have a lot to be grateful for. And it may not be the perfect life, it's the way you want it, but we always have something to be grateful for. And the more you focus on gratitude, the more you focus on things that you're grateful for, the more things to be grateful for. And I did a whole Facebook Live on gratitude last night because it is 2 days. And you know, a lot of times people think about Thanksgiving as being this excuse to indulge and to overeat and to eat stuff that they normally wouldn't. That's not what it's about, right? It's about gratitude. And it's about counting our blessings. And I really got strict with
asylum seekers intense. Hundreds of homeless asylum seekers tried to draw attention to their situation.
Okay.
By makeshift shelters.
Somebody's got their...
It worked. Police moved in to forcibly remove the...
There we go. Okay. So we'll keep your mics closed for now. So I usually visit my extended family, my husband's family, for Thanksgiving. This is the first year that we won't be doing that. This is the first year that we will be actually having Thanksgiving at home with just the four of us, my two boys and my husband and I. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. We're going to get on Zoom with the extended family later. But what it means is I have complete control over my food. I have complete control over the chaos or lack thereof in the family. And here's the cool thing. About a few years ago, I said, you know, where everybody's just like, okay, it's time to eat. And they grab their food and everybody's sitting down before everybody else is. And it's just like, there wasn't a ritual to starting the meal. And when I grew up, we always said grace before meals, right? And I look back at that, and that's a religious thing, but it's not just religious. It's a health-enhancing strategy, right? So we all should sit down, and especially on Thanksgiving, let's sit down and count our blessings, right? And give thanks for all we have. And not like, just eat this food, and then the next thing you know, you're half asleep on the couch because your stomach is hurting. So I really encourage you to think about what you're going to be eating, how you're going to be interacting with people, and the fact of making it a ritual to give thanks. And with holiday meals, we've never had Thanksgiving at home, but we always have Christmas at home with my boys. And we always have, everybody gets a candle and we go around the table and we give thanks to something and light our candle. What is it that you're grateful for? What is it that you're grateful for? And then we eat the meal. It's a really beautiful ritual. It was a little like the boys when they were little, like, why do I have to do this? Why, my friends don't do this at their house. Why do I have to do this? But it's a really nice thing to get in touch with, because gratitude helps put you into parasympathetic nervous system state. Parasympathetic is where digestion is maximized. It's where your healing systems, your detoxification systems are maximized. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also grateful for all of you for being here, for taking initiative with your own health, that you're willing to invest your time in spending time with the rest of us who are also interested in health. And I just want to thank you, because you're part of making this world a better place. Right? You're part of helping to have more peaceful interactions in this world. Because what I believe is that people who are healthy and happy, they don't fight. They don't have to be right. They go, oh, I disagree with you. You have a right to your opinion. I have a right to my opinion. Awesome. That's what we want for the world, right? We don't want everybody fighting and, you know, I'm right, you're right. That's not healthy for us. So you taking charge of your own health is actually contributing to global health, to global peace. And that's what I think we all want. Like, we all want to be healthy and happy and safe and all this stuff. And yeah, we may have different opinions in some ways about which way to go about it. But when it comes down to it, you know, this is what we're here for. So I appreciate it. I want to give you two more announcements and then we'll open it up for questions. One is that we are going to be doing an elimination diet as a group. And we're going to lead it through, you know, daily little check-ins and that kind of stuff. But I kept asking people when we should do it. And I was like, oh, we'll do it in November. Oh, well, it's almost Thanksgiving. That's not a good time to do it. And so what I think the way we're going to do it, based on the feedback I got, was I think we're going to start to do the prep phase in December. And then in January, we're going to go whole hog with doing the elimination process and then doing the reintroduction, because it's a challenge around the holidays. Even if we're not out shopping and making food all the time, it's still, there's something about that. I think it's like starting fresh in the new year is really good. The second announcement is related to that. What we are going to do in December is we're going to do a fasting while feasting challenge. And that's like only 5 days long. And it's kind of like a prep for an elimination diet, right? Because you're eating very specifically. The reason we're doing it, and this is the exciting part, is that one of my friend's colleagues is a naturopath who specializes in cancer. She's an integrative oncology specialist. And she's been researching the benefits of fasting on cancer or modified fasting. And we started talking about it. I said, well, I have a whole program that I put together it's like mimicking fasting, but for people who, you know, shouldn't be fasting, or people who can't fast, or it's too difficult to fast. So we created this thing called Fasting While Feasting. You have access to it on your site under the bonuses towards the bottom of your page. You're welcome to go through that. I have all those recipes. I have all the days laid out, and we're going to do a little webinar together to talk about the benefits of fasting. That's going to be on December 2nd at 7 p.m. Central Time. You'll be getting an invitation to it. And she's going to talk about the cancer part, the prevention, and in the healing phase. And I think it's going to be an awesome webinar. And then we're going to talk about, like, hey, come to this thing. It's free. Right? Especially if you're in this group, it's free. And the people who want the recordings will have to pay extra to get the recordings, but you guys will have it all for free because you're part of this program. So I'm super excited about that. The results we got from that last year were phenomenal. And you're going to get to hear from me and Heather. Her name is Dr. Heather Paulson. We're going to be doing these little Q&As and, you know, explaining what to do. It's going to have prizes and games. And, you know, if you post pictures of your food and do all this stuff, you're eligible for prizes. So you'll be hearing more about that over the next few days. And I'm super excited. So December 2nd, December 6th is when we're starting it. I think it's a Sunday. So I don't remember if it's the 5th. I think it's the 6th. It's going to go through Sunday through Thursday, right? And then on Friday, we're going to do and on the Friday, we're going to do a webinar to tie it all together and say, okay, what can you do next? You know, how do you take this into your life? So I'm super excited about that. So that, and then the elimination diet. Okay. So that was it. Oh, third one is, if you are a health coach or a health practitioner, these calls are for you, for your personal health, not for your Aunt Sally, not for your mother, not for your client, but for you to ask about your own personal health. And that's what we restrict these for. Health practitioners have all their other calls that they can ask about their clients. Okay. All right. So the way that we work these calls is that any questions are applicable, but I'm not going to be reviewing labs. That's not what these are about. This is the nutrition lab call. So what is it? And I know we call it lab, but you're the lab, right? Your body's the lab. What is it that you need help with in terms of food, elimination diets, supplements, support, anything related to nutrition is what we want to review here. And if you have any questions about content, like where can I find this? Because there's so much content out there for you. Where can I find this? You just ask it and I'll tell you. I'll do a screen share and show you. All right. Everybody good? Yes. Thumbs up. All right. So the way that you ask questions, two ways. The best way is if you click where it says participants at the bottom. And then at the bottom of the list of participants, there should be a way to put your hand up. There's also like clappers and some other fun things that you can click, but click one of those. That'll go on your picture and I'll know that you want to ask a question. And what it does is it puts people in order on my screen, so I can just pick people in order. If you wave at me like this, I'll see you, but I will forget what order you're in. So you may not get somebody else may get to go ahead of you because you'll see me. But this is a fine way to do it as well if you can't find that little hands up. So if you see Brenda, she just moved to my top corner. I don't know if she did that for everybody, but she has her hand up. So I'm going to open it up. And I love to see you guys. It really means a lot to be able to see you guys if you're open to it. I know some of you might be making dinner or doing some other things and don't want to be seen, but it really means a lot to me that I'm actually with real people instead of these boxes with names on them. And I did this during Shine as well. I had this huge screen TV in front of me so I could see everybody. And it makes me feel like I'm really in person with people because I miss the talking in person with people. So thank you, I appreciate it. All right, so Brenda.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I'm sorry I don't have a camera on my laptop, so no video.
You've got an old one, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. But nice to talk to you. Thank you. I've got two questions, if I may.
Sure.
The first has to do with essential oils. And I read in at least a couple of different places in the materials that you highly recommend Mountain Rose essential herbs or essential oils because they are high quality and organic and good for internal use. So I ordered three of your favorites, actually, to try. And then after I received them, I got on their website and I happened to see that they do not recommend taking any of their essential oils internally. And so I got on a chat with somebody there. I said, you just have to say that because of legality. And he said, no, this is legit. We don't do it. So I'm just kind of confused now whether I should use those or not.
Okay. So there are some essential oils that should not be. If you look at something like doTERRA or Young Living, they mark them very specifically for internal use, for infuser, you know, inhalant use, for topical use. And so there's certain ones that should not be taken internally, like wintergreen. Don't ever take wintergreen internally. It's way too strong. It can be toxic. And there's others like that. So my understanding, you just need to be very careful with internal use, right? I think the reason that they do, all the companies that do say it that way, say it because if you take too much, like if you do 5 drops of something versus 1 drop, it can be problematic. It can burn the mouth. It can burn the esophagus. So you do have to be careful. You should be mixing them in carriers, right? So you can get some olive oil or coconut oil or a smoothie or something like that, right? You can put them in there. But my understanding, and from using like the doTERRAs and the Young Livings, that there are, it's the reason a lot of them do it is because they're afraid of people misusing it and then they'll sue the company.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I bought the aniseed, the lime peel, and the basil from Mountain
Rose. I've used
Rose.
All of them.
So those are all fine as far as you?
I have used them personally.
Okay.
And I'm still here to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. I have, but wintergreen, like stuff like that, there's certain ones you don't want to take internally, right?
Okay. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Second question then has to do with my digestion. I've been eating this way now since we started this lab. And also back in the summer, I have the Sweet Spot recipe guide. I went through that for 4 weeks. And the good news is I have made some progress with lowering my blood sugar, which I'm very happy about. But my digestion is a mess. My tummy is just in turmoil all the time. And I have lots of gas all the time, which is very, very annoying. So
that's not fun. So beforehand, before you start, you switched your diet, you were not having that problem?
Well, I've always tended to be that way, but it seems to have been more constant and worse.
Okay. So my thoughts are this, couple of things. Are you eating more vegetables than you used to eat?
Yeah, more greens.
Are you eating more raw than you used to eat?
Maybe slightly. I did always eat a lot of salads before, but maybe.
Are you eating other things that are other? So salad greens are very gentle. So sometimes what happens is you have an irritated gut. You said you've had slight problems before. And then when you increase the volume of greens, or you increase the volume of raw, it could be problematic, but it could also be indicative that you have some sort of intolerance to some of the chemical constituents in there. So things like salicylates or oxalates or histamines or other things that might be in those greens. Oftentimes it's related to having a leaky gut and it gets aggravated when you increase the volume of those. So you're going to really benefit from the elimination the provocation process, because we're going to get you stripped down to very few foods for a length of time, and then we're going to gradually add them back so you could see how does your body do on this, like, really unlikely to be sensitive to list. And then you're going to add them back. And based on what you react to, we can determine, is it the fiber in there? Is it a problem with the microbes down there that you're feeding them with some of these fibers? Is it a problem with oxalates? So those are the kinds of things that we'll look at when we do the elimination.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So in the meantime, what would be like the first place I should maybe try checking? What, probiotics, would that be something to...
So I would say enzymes would be good, digestive enzymes.
Okay.
Making sure that you're chewing your food thoroughly, because many of us don't. And when you start to eat more high fiber foods and you don't chew them, you've got a lot of this coarse fiber that can aggravate your gut. So chewing your food, being calm before you eat, those are my basic start go-tos. Looking at stomach acid, because if you have low stomach acid, you don't digest the high fiber foods as well. And then looking at enzymes, digestive enzymes, and probiotics. And you can start with probiotics or start with probiotic foods like sauerkraut or kimchi or things like that.
Okay. Is there a way to check stomach acid? How is that?
That's a challenging one. So we have, there's this thing called the Heidelberg test, which you swallow this transducer and it goes all the way through and it measures your stomach acid and you poop it out the other end. You have to clean it off and bring it into the doctor. Doctors have that in order to do that. But that's one way. There's another way. And there's this thing that's, it's like a piece of pH paper that's on a string. And you got to swallow it and get it to go down into your stomach. And then you have to pull it back up. Like, none of this stuff is real appealing, right?
I'll start with the digestive enzymes.
Right. The other thing is a HCL challenge where you get HCL capsules and that's all explained in the, I think it's in the Eating for Digestion. Are you in the Empowered or are you in just the Nutrition?
Just the Nutrition Lab.
Yeah. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I know it's in the Empowered in the Digestion module, the program that we have. But if you just go do a Google search on how to do an HCL challenge, and you're basically taking HCL, which is the stomach acid, and you're taking one on a big meal, not a small meal, big meal, and you're going to see, do you feel some warmth in your tummy when you get that? If not, you can take two on the next big meal. And then if you don't have any warmth in your stomach, you don't want to wait till it's really, really like burning, because that's not fun, but it's a little bit of warmth in your tummy. And then, you know, when you start to feel that little bit of warmth, you stop. And then your dose for HCL would be right before that. So if at 3 you started to feel a little warmth in your tummy, your dose would be 2 of those. And it suggests that you may not be making enough of it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure, you're welcome. All right, so Rich, you're next.
Okay, similarly, I have typically always had gas. I was, for many, many years, of course, I did the raw diet. And of course, I've been sort of adding cooked foods in it, according to my new coach, to hopefully cut off some of that gas. And I've had some success, but not total success. I have added the 3 enzymes when you and I had talked last about how to help. I've added the kimchi pretty much with every meal except for breakfast. But I'm still experiencing more gas than I'd like.
Has it gone down when you added the kimchi, or did it increase at all?
I'm going to say it slightly went down.
Okay.
But sometimes I'll be going 2 to 3 hours after the meal, and all of a sudden I'll just have some gas. Again, not a lot of gas, but it's just.
Is it uncomfortable? Like where you have some,
it's a comfortable gas. It's not a, you know.
It's not just like, you know, there's a little passing of gas and. It's fine. Is there a smell? I mean, I'm going to get a little gross here, but is there a smell to the gas that you pass?
Smell.
Mustn't be, because it's you'd be going, oh my God, you know, we're cleaning out the bathroom after I'm done. Yeah.
No, you're right. I don't think there's been much smell to it.
Okay. So I'm asking that because if there's organisms that are like really bad organisms and they start to ferment this stuff, it's foul, right? Or there's sugars in there that they have fun with, it can smell bad. So the other thing I'm just going to go back to, because I know you're a busy guy. Are you taking a few minutes before a meal to sit down and do some heart math? Great.
I'm better at that. Yes, I'm definitely getting better with that.
Okay, so that's something to really work at getting very good at. Okay, because if you're in sympathetic nervous system, as you are eating, you don't make enough enzymes. So a lot of people go out and they're spending a lot of money on enzymes and probiotics and bile acids and all this, when you could actually make them yourself if you just slow down and do some heart math before your meal and then chew really well. So chewing just doesn't mean you go. That's not how you eat, right? You chew, you savor it, you feel it, you swallow it, you take a breath, you do it again. And so you can do some of that heart math, that gratitude breathing in between your bites as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might, maybe the kimchi that you're having, how much are you having? A tablespoon?
Cup? Maybe 2 tablespoons at lunchtime for sure, because I have my biggest meals at noontime.
Okay. You can play with the amount. You can go a little higher than that. You can go up to, like, I just sometimes pour half a bottle, jar of it on my salad. You know,
yeah, I like the flavor. I get the ginger carrot. Yeah, it's terrific. Right?
Yeah. The other thing, my husband does this. He actually takes the juice from the sauerkraut. He has a guy at the farmer's market that saves it all for him and sells it to him in these big, like, gallon jars. And he drinks this beverage. He does that in the morning every day. He drinks down his probiotic juice loaded with organisms. The other thing you can do is you can experiment with that. You can also see if you need some extra probiotics on top of that, like adding some bifidobacter or something like that to it and seeing how that goes.
Yeah, I typically take one at nighttime, but not every night. I might alternate before I go to bed.
Yeah, so be consistent with one thing at a time to see what actually helps so we can figure out where that is. Do you take any digestive enzymes?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. And the bitters?
Yes. I do the either arugula while I'm preparing the meal ahead of time, or I get some of these bitter extracts.
Great. Great. Now, have you ever done a stool test?
No.
So if this doesn't go away with all these great hygiene practices, so be consistent with this. And if it's not getting better, there just may be some bugs down there. Or in the stool test, you also see what the balance is of your good organisms. Maybe you have too much lactobacillus and not enough bifido. Maybe you have some Klebsiella or E. coli or something else growing in there that we'd need to like address with some herbal therapeutics.
Could it be indicative of parasites? Because
it could be, yeah. I mean, it certainly could be. That, and the stool test will tell you.
Okay.
If there's parasites, if there's candida overgrowth, if there's bacterial overgrowth. And even one of them tells you viral overgrowth. And I can't remember which one, either the GI effects maybe. We'll tell you if there's viral overgrowth.
Yeah, because I'm also not at the best for washing all my leafy greens. I buy the organic.
Yeah.
But I'm not always good at washing them ahead of time.
You know, it's possible you are thin. So, you know, and you have trouble maintaining and increasing your weight. So certainly a parasite is not out of the picture there.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Great questions.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. So next we have Ronnie.
Okay.
Hi.
So my question is, you know, those charcoal capsules is supposed to take? Well, they did it. Nothing ever came out.
Oh, so you mean for the transit time test?
Yeah. And I'd done it a second time. That was last night. I don't know.
So when you say nothing came out, so you took it.
The first time was 5 days ago.
Four. Okay. You took 4 of them. And then you watched your poop for signs of it going dark. Yep. Is your poop generally dark to begin with?
No, it's like kind of brown.
Yeah. So it's not like it's black to begin with.
No.
But you never saw black coming out in your stool.
No. It's just like
constipated.
I'm mildly not pooping as much, but I'm still pooping.
Right. Yeah, so it could be one of two things. It could be that, I don't know, you're just digesting it real well and it's going away. It could be that you have a huge, large volume of stool and it doesn't make much of a difference. Or it could be that you have a very slow transit time. So you said you took it again last night?
Yeah.
All right. And some people need to take more than the 4 sometimes six. The other way to do a transit time test is with either beets or corn. And if you're staying away from corn due to allergies, you know, nobody eats, nobody chews corn, right?
Yeah.
Short corn comes out the other end and you just eat corn and see how long it takes before you see it coming out the other end.
Okay. I mean, if I'm going to do that, I'd rather do beets because.
Yeah. You don't want to do corn. Yeah. So
well, they're both going to jack my sugar up.
Raw beets are less likely than corn.
Okay.
Raw beets, right? But if you eat them and you shred them up real well, eat a good sized portion of them. And then you see when your stool starts to turn red. People don't like to do that test because they're like freaking out because they're like, I'm bleeding, I'm dying.
No, you know? I love beets and I kind of think it's fun to do it.
Do it with raw beets rather than cooked beets. I mean, you could do it either way. Pickled beets might be the best bet.
Yeah, but it's just like if I'm watching that sugar.
Okay, that's why I said pickled because the pickled beets tend to not be as sugar jacking. I have beet powder and I have fermented beet powder. And the beet powder will raise my sugar. The fermented doesn't even touch it.
Really? Okay. Because everything it's like anything. Anything unusual?
Yeah, I mean, you probably have similar genetics to what I have, which is like, it's all over when it comes to sugar.
It's like, I get no breaks, and now I've just stopped worrying about it. It's like, forget this. I'm having beans on occasion. I'm not even going to look.
Yeah.
Forget it, because it just stresses me out. It makes me mad.
That's going to raise your sugar more. So
exactly. So it's kind of like so I've just decided to kind of like. Okay.
It's good to go through periods like that and then go back to testing. Like I haven't tested my sugar in a week. I'm careful, but I just didn't want to waste my last Freestyle Libre because I don't know when I'm going to get another one. So I just didn't put it on.
Right? Dr. Rita Marie, so today I found this guy on YouTube that says that you can reset it and reuse a sensor to make it last 28 days. I'll post it.
Please.
Yeah, I'll post it up. I haven't gotten.
I know you can do that with the other one, the Medtronics one or the Dexcom. The Dexcom you can do that with. But if you can do that with that, that would be awesome.
Well, I don't know. It's the first time I've used this free Libre. I just put the sensor on today. And what I don't know is how I can get the reading on my phone yet. That's the thing that I'm.
Well, it's not doing anything until you get the reading. So there's an app called Freestyle Libre.
Okay, I downloaded it, but it's like nothing. I don't know how to. Yeah.
So it will say it has instructions here. I found out this really cool thing that I can do. Watch this. This is brand new. Okay. Okay. See my screen share?
Yep. Okay, I see that. I've gotten that far.
Okay, and so it tells you that. So you applied it, right? And then you go the next screen. Let's see. Okay. And then it says how to scan. So you put it on, whatever.
Yeah,
So you get to, you get to all that. And then, so you already have it on. Okay, you have it on. Right. Yep. And then you go up to the top and you see this little thing. I'm looking right at the screen. You see that little thing in the corner? It says Freestyle Libre Lean. And in the corner, it has a circle with these two things.
I'll click that. Okay.
And it says ready to scan. You hold it up to your sensor. It scans it. The first time you read it, it'll say it'll be ready to scan in an hour. And then once it's ready to scan, then you can scan it anytime you want.
Okay, I'll try that because I didn't see that little thing there. And it's so I didn't know how to activate the one on my phone because what I'd like to do is download at the graph and actually see what's going on.
Yeah, and there's a way that you can install, like it's an app that you go to, what's it called? Like to a browser. Whoops, I think I can control this from here. I have to get rid of it on my phone. So there's an app that you go to Chrome or whatever, and you type in, you go to Google and you type in to download that app. There's something, I forget what it's called, but it will allow you to upload all your data through the app.
So what am I looking for again? So I'm taking you for a walk. Sorry.
If you go into, let's see.
So I get onto my web browser and I type in.
Type in freestyle. I don't know what it's called. Libre interface. I don't know. There we go. The My Freestyle program, Freestyle 2. Here we go. It's, let me go here. It's probably on their site here. Nope, that's not it. It should say it in the documentation that came with it. FAQs, Freestyle Libre US. Let's see. Libre Link. Libre Link helps you monitor your glucose, and Link Up allows your loved ones to see your results after you scan. So I'll put this link into the chat. Okay. All right. And then that you have to put in your user ID, create a user ID, password, et cetera, but that would be really great. Okay. And then if you wanted me to see it, you can give me access to that. If you were on a call, like, you know, one of your ERC calls, or you wanted your coach to see it, you could get them, you just get them access or give them your password and we can log in and see all your data. Okay.
Okay. Let's, shoot.
What?
Okay.
It's in the chat. The link's in the chat. So copy paste the link from there. Put it in your email. You good?
Okay. Email to myself. Great idea.
Yeah, you know what? You can use sesame seeds. Thank you, Rose. I forgot about that. Sesame seeds you can use too. Just, you know, take a tablespoon of sesame seeds and swallow them down, and you'll see those coming out.
Oh.
Yeah, that might work. That might be the best bet. Thank you, Rose. Yay. All right. Who else has questions? Who else needs support? Over here.
Oh my gosh.
All right. All right. So we have CJ and then Judy. All right. Ask to unmute. All right, CJ, just unmute yourself. And
so I'm trying to get rid of that thing that's in. Okay, hold on. Participants there. I haven't heard anyone talk about diet colas. They're frowned upon in by the health community, but strangely enough, I never read any good evidence of why. Diet cola.
Oh, diet cola. Stay away from it. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Well, that
first of all, yeah, you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't drink
why
it.
Is it? Why is it terrible?
Well, first of all, Coke to begin with, it's got caffeine in it. It's got chemicals that they use to process it. It's not organic. And then the sweetener that they use, aspartame or something else, is not a good one for you. Just look it up. It can affect your brain. So no, I would not recommend cola of any kind. If you really like the taste of cola, there's this stuff called Zevia, X-E-V-I-A, and they have cola flavor and it's sweetened with stevia. So that would be a better bet. Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay. And the other option is you get sparkling water, and this company called, what's it called? Not Mountain Rose. It's, they have little sweeteners. Somebody help me with this. I can't remember their name. I get them mixed up with Mountain Rose, but they're little, not sweeteners, but they're the flavors. I'll find it and post it on the ERC site because it's just a little flavor that's cola flavor. So you can put it in there, and it's a natural flavor extract.
All right.
Not Sweet Drops. Sweet Drops is that's a good guess, Rose. That's because that's the one, Karen, you may know. The little ones, and the rum flavor tastes terrible. Don't ever order the rum flavor. I ordered it to make eggnog for the holidays, and it was like, it tasted like kerosene. It was like, I would imagine kerosene, not that I've ever tasted kerosene, but it tasted that, you know, that crappy flavor. Karen, you know.
Medicine flower.
Medicine flower. I don't know why I always forget their name. Medicine flower. They have all kinds of really nice flavors. And it really helps if you are, you know, addicted to sodas. You can just have your sparkling water and put that in there.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Judy.
Oh boy, I've had an interesting time the last while. What? Since I actually talked to you on a call. I had cataract surgery, which was really needed, and I'm enjoying the fruits of that, but I finally got around to seeing my gynecologist, because normally I do that March, April timeframe, and of course, that all got shut down with COVID.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out my uterine lining is very thick, and they're talking DNC and go in and scrape it out and make sure there's nothing seriously wrong. So
I get a second opinion. All right. Well, because, you know, there may be ways to do without having to scrape it all out to see, but I would look at that. Get a second.
Well, opinion. I talked to the regular gynecologist who sent me to the specialist, the oncological gynecologist. And they both agree that it's pretty much what needs to happen.
So did they do a pap smear?
Yep.
And did they see any abnormal cells there?
Yeah, they were seeing endocrine stuff, endometrial stuff they shouldn't see.
I shouldn't see, yeah. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right? DNC is not the worst kind of intervention. It's not comfortable, but... No,
I had that done once before and really did not, years ago, and really did not feel it. What I'm concerned about is not the DNC, but what they're what they might find. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I can do to make myself healthier in the meantime.
So in the meantime, it's all the stuff you and I've been talking about for the last, year in ERC, right? It's the blood sugar balance, getting your gut, getting your microbiome, avoiding, the occasional Pringles binge, right? Eating really good foods, making sure all your fats are healthy, right? I know, were you at China over the weekend? Did I see you
there? Yes.
Yeah.
Not all the time, because I had other things that I had to do that weekend also. But I was there a lot of it.
We talked there about with the fatty acid balance and the anti-inflammatory type stuff. And it depends on what they find. If there's a specific hormone dominance, looking to see how you balance that, progesterone might be indicated, but without, having the results, progesterone might be indicated.
Well, right now they have me on a high dose, have had me on a high dose of progesterone for years.
Is it progesterone or is it progestin?
Is progesterone.
It is natural bioidentical progesterone.
Well, it's whatever CVS gives me.
Generally speaking, if it was prescribed by a conventional gynecologist, it's a progestin, which is synthetic, which could contribute to problems. Yeah. Okay, so I would check with them and say, look, is this progestin? Is this a synthetic or is this natural bioidentical progesterone?
Yeah, I can ask CVS that, but.
Ask CVS that. They will give you that information. Yeah. Okay, they have to, right? And it's probably on the insert that goes out to be about this big when you unfold it.
Oh, yeah,
letters so small that nobody, even a little small child, could barely read. Yeah. It's usually buried in there. But yeah, find it out.
Well, they've had me on that to keep me, to forestall spotting. If I don't take it for a few days, I'll definitely be spotting. Mm-hmm. So that's not good.
Have you done a Dutch test?
No, never did.
Okay, so that's something you should be doing, thinking about doing, because you'll get the idea of where the balances are. Just giving hormones without testing, and just doing blood tests doesn't always give you the right answers. It's dangerous, right? So yeah. I would find out right away if that is progesterone, natural progesterone, or is it progestin? Okay. And think about ordering a Dutch test because that's super important.
All righty.
What all those metabolites are, right? And get serious about, you know, serious about the diet, because that's going to save you more than anything, you know, if there's something serious going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
You got this. It's like a wake up
call. Well, I know what to do. I just,
you have to do it. It's a wake up call.
I've been learning for the last year and change.
Yep.
But I just haven't been doing it well.
And sometimes it just takes, you know, we don't get things we can't handle. And it's like, bang, wake up. And even if it comes out perfectly normal, it's still a fear and a risk that you're putting yourself into. So I'm hoping that you will use it as that wake up call regardless.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're pushing for you, rooting for you. But yeah, I would check all those things out. Okay.
All righty.
Thank you. All right. Yenny.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi. Can you hear me? Yes, I can.
I have two questions. One is, could you share your opinion about the correlation, if there's any, between heavy metals with autoimmune, primarily like mercury, amalgam, and root canal teeth? Mm-hmm. The reason I asked for that, I had my root canal teeth pulled this morning. One of it, I have three, but I only did one today. So I'd like to know your opinion about the correlation between that, heavy metals and autoimmune. The second question would be, I would potentially start on DMSA, to take DMSA in January. And you did mention that in the beginning of the call of the elimination diet to start in January. So would you recommend to still go with the DMSA in January before the elimination, or should I wait until the elimination? And what would be the best thing to do in relation to that?
So there's a lot of evidence, a lot of research on the correlation between heavy metals and autoimmune. It's listed as one of the primary things to look for. So leaky gut, stress on the system, and that includes, you know, mental, emotional stress, heavy metal stress is way up there. Okay, so there's a very, very strong correlation. When you got the tooth that you got out with the root canal, did it have a filling in it?
Yes, it has filling and crown.
Filling in a crown, okay.
Right.
And did they do, when they removed it, did they use the rubber damming and give you oxygen and all that kind of stuff?
No. Well, basically the are you talking about the mercury filling, or are you talking about the root canal tooth?
Did the root canal tooth have any, you know, mercury filling? But you're saying
no
crown. Okay.
No, not the root canal. There's a different tooth that was pulled with the mercury. That one, yes, it was done with the rubber.
It was done with all that. Yes. Okay, great.
Yes, but the one with the root canal tooth, there was a crown on top of it. It's zirconia crown. Mm-hmm. So I opt for a zirconia implant today.
Okay, and that'll take a few months before you get that, right?
Technology has advanced, so it's enabled us to do extraction and implant the same day. So it's all done.
Wow.
You just don't have the abutment and there's no abutment because it's one piece. Zirconia is one piece implant, and you just need to put the crown 3 months later.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay, that's changed. There's a heavy, there's a huge correlation. So that answers that. As far as the DMSA, DMSA, you got to be careful because it will also pull out your regular minerals. So you have to be really careful with that. And I'm trying to the reasons to yes or no during an elimination diet. I think it just depends on how aggressive the DMSA protocol is, right? Some DMSA protocols, it's like you do it for one day, you take 3 days off, you do it another day. In between, you're taking all your essential minerals and beefing up on those, and then you do it again. Some people who recommend it will do it more aggressive. And if you have a tendency to be sensitive to detox, like you get headaches if you try to do a detox program, then I recommend that, you know, you spread that out. Sometimes that protocol lasts a month. For some, it's like a week on, a week off, a week on, a week off. So it depends on the protocol. Are you following a protocol from your dentist or something you read about?
So my functional medical doctor prescribed that. And the protocol is that Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So every other day to take it for about 4 weeks. But I am asking, the question is more, should I do it before the elimination? Not during the elimination, because I prefer
it's
to do
it. It's hard to do it. If you're doing it during the elimination, you're not going to know if you're removing certain foods that had been problematic for you, but you're feeling crappy because of the detox protocol, you're not going to be able to tell. So you're probably better off doing it whichever way you think, before or after.
How long is your elimination diet is going to be?
You know, again, it depends on the person. You can do 4 days of elimination. Some people choose to fast for 4 days, so they have everything out of their system, they feel fine, and then they start to introduce. For some people, they're going a week or 2 weeks. And some people even go a month on the elimination part before adding things back. And usually we determine when to end the elimination part and start the reintroduction by how you're feeling, right? If you're feeling really good the first week and you've been off of stuff for 4 days, then it's easy to put things back in and see if there's a response, you know, see what their response would be to that food. So it depends on you.
Oh, so is the elimination diet separate from that fasting while feasting? I thought that is in December for 5 days.
The fasting while feasting we're doing in December for 5 days.
Okay.
Yes. And you can go straight from that into elimination. Yeah, you can go straight from that into elimination diet if you wanted to. And what I'm going to be doing in December is getting you ready. There's forms you can fill out, and there's ways that you can help yourself design the elimination diet. And then we'll actually officially start it after the holidays, because most people don't start an elimination diet during the holidays for obvious reasons.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
If the elimination diet is short, I think I will talk to my my doctor.
I would talk to your doctor.
What she thinks. I should cramp it into December right before, or maybe just wait until elimination diet is done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's best to talk to your doctor. Great. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Denisha, is that how you say your name? Denisha?
Yes. Wait, I'm trying to remember how to.
Oh, I just asked you to unmute. So yeah.
Okay. Good. Yes.
I hear you.
thank you. So I'm trying to figure out, there's been so many things going on, but I guess my major question is, if, so I was experiencing what the doctors believe is autoimmune. They haven't really tested to figure it out, because my doctor didn't want to put me on medication. So we started doing diet changes. And so I went off of gluten, and I'm trying to figure out what else to do. Like, I just heard you say something about the mercury fillings and stuff and metal. And I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't know that was part of it too.
Because
I definitely have several fillings.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out, but I'm still having tons of inflammation in my body. Like, I am in pain to the point of sometimes feeling like I'm crawling up the steps, even though I've eliminated a lot of stuff. I went vegan, and I was like anti-soy vegan, and then I wanted to lose weight. So a friend told me about this program, Optavia, and I started doing that. But then when I looked into it, the ingredients in the food is like, the protein is soy based, which I, because of the presence of breast cancer and stuff in my family, I have tended to stay away from soy.
Right.
And so I'm really trying to figure out if, like I really wanted to just do it all in one program so that I could figure out, have like somebody guide me through it, but I just couldn't afford it. And so I'm trying to get to the point to where I can afford to have somebody help me. But in the meantime, I'm miserable. And I don't really want to get put on a bunch of medication. So I'm really trying to do this in a holistic way.
Perfect. I have recommendations.
It's very challenging because I don't feel well.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what should I, if I wanted to just do a bare bones diet, is there something that I could go to really help like kick inflammation out? Because they're also starting to see my kidney numbers go down and we don't know why. Like water is my primary beverage.
Well, it could be that there's lupus and lupus affects the kidneys. If you're suspicious of autoimmune, you know, so it could be autoimmune attack, and then there's polynephritis and there's a whole bunch of other things that could affect it. So have you ever heard of Terry Walls? T-E-R-R-Y-W-I. She has a book for $20.
Okay. Right?
This is inexpensive and it's called The Walls Protocol. And it's she's a she's not a neurologist. She's an MD. I forget what kind. I always say she's a neurologist, but she's not. She just is interested in neurology. And she reversed her own MS. She had MS that had, it had gone down so badly after 3 years, she was in a reclining wheelchair because she couldn't even sit up straight in a wheelchair.
Wow.
She now rides her bicycle, teaches lectures around the world. And she had played with different diets. And what she came up with, which is very high nutrient dense diet, things to avoid. And she maps it out in her book.
Okay. And it's Terry Walls, W-A-L-L-S?
W-A-H-L-S. W-A-H-L-S.
W-A-H-L-S. Okay.
The other thing I would recommend today is Dr. Tom O'Brien's book. And he approaches it differently. He approaches it a lot from the toxic exposure piece. And he has this 28-day protocol where you're getting rid of the plastics and then getting rid of the, you know, you just go through this thing of cleaning up the environment. So between those two books, I think you'll have a wealth of information. You just have to be dedicated to follow it, right?
Okay, what was his name?
Tom O'Brien.
Tom O'Brien, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we just did a three-day online event called
Master on Autoimmune.
Right, mm-hmm. And both of them spoke at the event.
Oh, wow.
And we have the recordings available. I mean, it's $97 to get all the recordings and all the
handouts. Okay.
So if you want to do that, I can post a link later. I don't have
one
now, but I can post a link in the Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
I am.
Okay. I'll post it in the Facebook group.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. So lower hand. And we have Lynn Lowe and then Hedy. Hi, Lynn. Unmute.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie, how are you?
Hi.
Sorry that you might not be able to see me so well.
It's a little dark, but that's it.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that I missed quite a bit of the shine, but that's okay. I made some decisions that were important that weekend, and turns out that we did a massive tenting of where I live, termite tenting.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And, you know, gas is so strong that actually some people in the Bahamas, two men decided to rob this building that was being tented and they died.
Oh my God.
And now, you know, you're supposed to have signs and there were signs, but probably not where they were sneaking in. Anyway, so I, you know, God must have been with me, honestly, because what they sent us to do as far as wrapping our food and all that stuff, you know, I thought, no, I'm going to take out all my food. And I only left things in the house that were cans. But then someone else sent me something because I had whatever, doesn't matter. And then they said, well, you know, the guys were saying it's just gas, you know, it'll be totally released and everything. There's no film. That's what I was asking. Is there a film?
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, then, you know, there's some kind of film when they say, you know, it's a good idea that when they take the tent off, that you might consider, you know, having cleaners come in and clean your couch, your bed, and, you know, your carpets. And I'm like, what? So I went into over mode on Sunday, man, just taking out so much shit from my place, not my clothes. I mean, I'm washing as I use it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I took out my pillows.
Things that aren't easily to throw in the washing machine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just said, you know what, I'll just have to put Shine on the sign. Then it was my sister's birthday on Friday, and I was in Shine a little, and then, but she needed more help, even though I had, so I just had to thought, I thought that's okay. And then I worked on Saturday, and, you know, so it's like, that's fine. I have the recording, right? So how do I get the recording? I'm in ERC. Would it be in my?
Oh, they're not available yet.
Oh, okay.
We have editing. We had them up for 3 days, like the raw recording straight from Vimeo, Zoom, whatever, that didn't, you know, we had it up for 3 days and then we took them down.
Right. Okay.
So now we gave them to them. We gave them to the video editor and he's going to edit, you know, make it nice and pretty and we'll put it up on a page.
Okay. So, and which page, how will put it up?
Well, on it's a, there will be, you know, if you did the VIP option or the VIP,
yeah,
or the,
I did.
You did? Yeah, it'll be on a page. You'll get an email that says, here's the page.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great,
yeah.
Great, great.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've, that I've really, first of all, I mean, I don't know if you know this, the last time I spoke to you, were, I was talking from getting my labs out.
Oh yeah, you were texting me frantically, yeah.
Jesus God, Dr. Rita Marie, honest to God, I had waited hours before, well, it seemed like I was there. I was definitely there.
But you got it done. I don't want to have you rehash the whole thing because I don't want to run out of time, but
yeah.
You got it done. You stayed calm enough to get it done.
I actually went to the doctor's hospital lab. Thank God I have a brain, you know, so it was wonderful because no one gave me that suggestion and they were great. And you know what? In fact, they got there the next day
because from
a hospital.
Right. You know, that probably.
I know. So it was like a blessing. But you know, one thing, I did get my blood test back and my cholesterol is high. It's 249. Mind you, my HDL is 80.
Well, that's good then.
That is good. Even though they're saying it's abnormal.
No, it's good.
That's good.
If I was in the 90s or 100, I would be concerned that there was some massive inflammation somewhere because when it gets too high, but 80 is a good number for HDL.
Okay, now my LDL is-
Okay, so I started at the beginning of this call. We're not talking labs on this call.
Okay.
Right. You can do that on an ERC call. This is food, nutrition, you know, anything related to nutrition.
Right. Okay, so one of the things, I mean, nothing that I really, I just wanted to talk a little bit, but I'm really noticing how many nuts I eat, you know, because I'm trying to do like how to get my cholesterol down. Dr. Esselstein has this whole program, you know, and boy, it was in a way good because I really do eat a lot of nuts and a lot of nut butters and stuff.
Oh yeah, and that'll put on weight too. So
it
you have to find the right amount for you. You have to find the right amount for you, right?
Yeah.
And Chronometer is a great way to do it. For those of you who don't know Chronometer, it's a really great app. You can get it for free, but the gold version is like $35, $39 a month. I mean, a year, not a month, a year. So it's really inexpensive. And you can track how much fat you're getting in, how much kinds of fat. And you can also track, see the omega-3-6 balance is super important. And so if you're eating a lot of nut butters, you might be throwing your omega-6-3 balance way out. So it's important to look at that. And then, you know, because the things that are higher in omega-3 would be like seeds, like chia seeds and flax seeds and things like that.
And you want more omega-3s, right?
Well, the ratio is okay if the omega-6 is more, but it should be 3 to 1 or less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it just really made me notice how dependent I am on nuts. And so it was a very good wake up call for me, you know. And so I'm looking at tweaking that. And that's it.
Great. Well, you know, we're having the lab call, so your labs are done in time on the 4th and the 5th. So we'll see you then to go over that.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. So Hedy, I'm gonna ask you to unmute.
Hi.
Hi.
I was trying to start video.
There you are.
Oh, because somebody was asking about soda. I don't know if you ever heard of longevity soda. It's actually a tincture. And it's made with this is vanilla cream and it's made with astragalus and goji berry.
Oh.
But since it's a tincture, it does have alcohol and glycerin in it, but it does have stevia in it. And it's
you drink it like you would drink a glass of soda, or you take it more like a tincture where you're doing a dropper full?
not even a whole drop or full to taste. So I just add a few drops to a glass of water.
Oh, you add it to water or to like sparkling water.
Yeah, and it's like a soda because they have root beer, they have vanilla cream, and it's made with all herbs.
Cool. And it's called Longevity Soda. Is it from the Longevity Warehouse, like the David Wolf?
Yes, it's I was going to say it's David Wolf that makes these brands.
Great.
So
that way you're getting that flavor of the soda at correct. The same time that you're supporting your immune system, your yes. whatever part of your body you're supporting the different ones.
And it's awesome. Very good. And David Wolf's also well known. And before I forget, I want to say thank you, Karen Osborne, because after Shine, I made that soup with the spices. It was really good.
Awesome.
And so my question is this, because I can't wait until lab day next week, but I'm wondering if you could tell me whether I'm taking too much of something or I need to add something for a week, because I don't sleep to begin with, but when I do sleep, I'm waking up in bone pain and I don't know what it's coming from. So I know I have arthritis.
Where do you feel it? Where's the bone pain?
It depends. Sometimes it's in my thigh, and then I have in the center of my spine, and then I crack too when I move because I have osteoporosis and I have degenerated disc disease and arthritis. So I really don't know what's
causing it,
and why it only happens in my sleep.
It may happen during the day. You just don't notice it because there's other stimuli. It's possible.
Okay.
It's possible. So if it's, I need a little bit more information, but
right.
if you have osteoporosis, are you doing like things like nettles and horsetail alfalfa, and you can do teas, throw them in your smoothies? No,
I take nettle every day. I have to stay away from horsetail because I feel when I take it, I feel like I was punched in the kidney.
Okay.
So I don't take that, but I take magnesium.
How much nettles do you take every day? Can you take it as a tincture or a
tap? No, I have it from Mountain Herbs in a pill, and it's 475 mg. I take one a day.
All right. So what I would recommend, that's fine. Go through it. You probably need 3 or 4 of those.
Okay.
Because typically I'm using teaspoon to a tablespoon. And if somebody already has osteoporosis, you need more mineralization. And so like Karen has these Bones Don't Crack crackers, actually, in which you have access to. If you go down on the nutrition page and you go down to where it says eating for bone health, there's a guide in there, and everything that I knew at the time about bone health is in there. And then Karen and I did some recipes, and mostly it's her recipes. So I would go there. Bones Don't Crack crackers, smoothies that have the extra fortification for bone health.
And it okay.
has all the nutrients in there.
Okay. Do you think the nettle loose herb in a tea is better than the capsule?
It can go either way. It's just okay. The amount you have to take. One capsule isn't going to do it. The equivalent, like open, what I would do is open up the capsules just to see how much is in there. And given that you already have osteoporosis, I'd probably target for 2 to 3 teaspoons a day, right? And so you open it up and you say, oh, it takes 4 capsules to get 1 teaspoon, right?
Okay.
So I can eat 8 of them a day. And then the next time you order, Mountain Rose does have it in the loose, and then you can put it in everything. One of the things I do is I put it into the Vitamix dry and I grind it up and I put it in like a salt shaker, and then I'll sprinkle it in various foods that I'm having. Very mild tasting. It doesn't have much of a taste. And then you're fortifying your foods.
Okay. And that's interesting too, because when you bring up minerals, so I noticed in the past 3-4 days, I have this craving for salt. I can't get satisfied with salt, and I'm not a salt user.
Have you done the Dutch test yet?
Yeah, and wait until you see that next week. A lot of my lab work came out really great, but that Dutch test is, I don't know, I'm like flatlined.
Have you talked to your coach? Who's your coach in ERC?
Isabel,
have you gone? Because she knows Dutch's pretty well. So I would say on your next test with her, because we're only going to, be able to do a touch on it. She can go really good with it on that call.
Yeah, I do have a call with her in January.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what we see in there, because it could be hormonal too. That's causing a lot of this.
Oh, God, my hormones are very, very low. Okay. Cause I don't take anything for it. So yeah, I know I need that balance.
Yep. 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 Cause that estrogen, if that estrogen's really low, it's going to contribute to your bones being more tendency towards osteoporosis. Plus there's the metabolite of estrogen called 16-hydroxy. And if that one's low, then it's going to predispose you more to the bone stuff.
Okay.
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 Thanks for the warning. Heads up.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay. I think we're close to end time. Does anybody else have any other questions before we close? Comments, questions? Did you guys learn stuff? Who learned something today? Yeah? Yeah? So you don't even have to have a question. You just listen in and you learn a lot of stuff, right? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah. Who's that? Julie?
Julie. Yeah, I just joined. I'm sorry. I missed the beginning of the call.
No worries.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
So I'm the one who has the daughter with Down syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just got all the blood work approved to get tested with her doctor.
Right.
I just got the sweet spot straightened out because I couldn't get into that, and they just got me into that. But I wanted to ask you, where is the information on the website regarding testing of glucose levels and what tests and how often? Like,
oh, that's in the sweet spot.
It is. I didn't see it. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely in the sweet spot. And it's the postprandial insulin. I mean, postprandial glucose, which is the testing, you know, every whatever, 15, 20 minutes to get the graph. It's fasting insulin, hemoglobin A1C, and potentially C-peptide, depending on what else comes out. But I usually don't do that right up front because it's expensive. So I see how the others are coming out. And if I'm still a little confused, I do a C-peptide. But those are the ones.
C-peptide. Okay. And that's in the sweet spot. Okay. I couldn't find it. Do you remember what it's under in the sweet spot?
Oh, boy. Assessments. It's in one of the first modules that talks about how to test. And it has this optional. Here's some tests that you can run.
Number two. It's module two. It's right module at the beginning. Two.
Thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
But read the first one because it'll be important information, and then okay. And then it continues into two. So the first two super important.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Okay. Thanks. And did I want to make sure? And again, I haven't read it all yet because I just got into it. But in our last call, I wanted to make sure that this is what you had said. I wrote down that you had said that HA1C above 5.2 is suspect of high blood sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were saying that you thought people with Down syndrome can have hypoglycemia. So that would be low blood sugar.
They can go both ways. And usually they're on the same spectrum, which is why I know she's hard. It's hard for you to test her as many times to get the graph.
She'll be, yeah.
But if she's okay with that, I would get her, do it the way we teach in there to find your peak, and then so that you can see, because sometimes people with hypoglycemia have hypoglycemia that's after they have hyper elevated, and it goes way up and then it comes way down because you're overproducing insulin. So if you were to get those tests, the insulin and the hemoglobin A1C, then you'll get a sense of whether she's overproducing insulin or not.
Okay. And when I get those results back, do I have to talk to you about the results, or just in the reading will give me information on
you're
that?
Going to have to get the reading. If you want someone to go over them with you one-on-one, then you'd have to do a consult with one of our coaches.
Would I, when I say reading, I mean, I'm not reading the results. I can read the results, but then will the literature that's under the sweet spot provide
the
me
sweet with spot will give you an idea of whether they're in the ideal range or they're outside okay. of that range. Yep, absolutely. When you get it back from the lab, their ranges are so wide that they miss most cases of blood sugar imbalance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So do you think I would be better off to have a consult after I get the blood, everything back, or?
Yeah, like look at it yourself. And if it's confused, you're getting a lot of other stuff too, right? Not just the blood sugar stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend you to Lisa on our team, who's like the best at reading the blood levels, the blood labs. Okay. And we can get you set up for a consult with her.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate you guys being here. I think that it's going to be awesome going to fasting with, oops, I got to turn people's mics off. I think it's going to be awesome going through the fasting with while feasting again, for those of you who want to do that with us. And for those of you who are going to do the elimination diet. So stay tuned on that. We have a lot of really great things in the pipeline. I keep thinking about all these different topics and things I want to do. And the food class is, we just did one the other day. So if you missed it, the recording should be up within, usually they're up within a week with the recipe guide. And it was really fun to do because we did Italian food and we did it with immune supportive Italian food. So we made pizza and cannolis and lasagna and a whole bunch of other good stuff. So I'm just looking at my calendar to see when the next one is. I think it's soon because December is so that's Christmas break. So the next one is the 19th of December. And why doesn't it say what the, doesn't say on my calendar what the topic is. So it'll be a surprise. We'll let you know soon. And also if you've got suggestions, like particular food topics you want to hear about, like for the classes, go to the Facebook page and just type it in, because we're going to be collecting that so that we can do what you guys really want. We've already had several requests and I can't wait to do those next year. And if there's any particular people you'd like us to bring in as a guest, I've got to invite Karen again and Patty. But if you have any other people who you would really love to have in as a guest to teach us some of that, let us know. We had Elena Love in once too. And last year we had Renee Oswald. Yeah, so we like to bring in people who can, you know, just share variety. So you don't have to just look at my face once a month, every month in my crazy kitchen. But it was great food. My son loved it. We ate together afterwards. He like was scarfing it down and have fun with it. Make it. It's good stuff. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.